reports about us, on our authority. And that is why it's very important to look at where we get our information from, how we got our information. Yeah. All right, you're using the Quran. Non-Muslims are using the Quran to put their point forward. We have this saying from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, if I'm not wrong, if it's in Najib al-Balagha, that the Quran is like a sword. It could be used for the people who are what? Believers, for non-believers. Every sect in Islam uses the Quran as their, you know, source or their reference or their evidence to prove their points. But at the end of the day, there has to be someone or something who is in charge of giving the true meanings of the Quran.
Now, of course.
And that's the main question that we ask after the Prophet. Who was it? Who was it? Why did they differ between themselves? Is it possible that the Prophet left his ummah, left his nation without someone to guide them to the Quran, the meaning of the Quran? We Shias believe that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and then his household, his offsprings, are the ones who explain this. And using this in our Western culture to keep our identity. Using these teachings that we have, this experience actually, that we have. Every information that comes up to you, even if it's coming from a mu'amma, even if it's coming from a scholar, you ask him, where did you get that from?
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
The Holy Quran states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِالنَّبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if there comes to you a fasiq, and we'll explain what that means in a moment, a fasiq comes to you with some information, then investigate.
Exactly.
Right? Investigate. Look at why this person has said it. Look at where the information is
coming
from.
He might be truthful. Now, he might be lying.
What is a fasiq?
There are three different interpretations here to the fact, actually. And this is one of the meanings is that a fasiq meaning a person who is a liar. Person who fabricates. The second meaning is a person who is unjust, unreligious, undevoted. The third one is a person who is trying to cause, you know, catastrophes, trying to cause problems and whatnot.
Perfect. I'm saying that there are people out there, right, who know certain media institutions, certain governments in the world are fasiq, are completely fasiq from top to bottom, and yet they're not recognizing that the media that those governments and those people are creating are going to have their ideologies in them. And therefore, our job is to investigate.
Yes.
Our job is not to accept anything at face value.
Another thing to keep in mind is that we should never let our guard down. Why? Because ideology is so important. It's the reason why you move. It's the reason why you act in this specific manner. For example, a father of five children, he sees that it is an obligation, a responsibility, a task upon him to wake up in the morning, to go to his job, to bear with his boss, to, you know, bring in the bread at the end of the night, to make sure his children have something to eat. Why is that? Why does he do this? Why does he take so much insult from his boss? Why does he handle this situation with patience? It goes back to what he believes in. Because he believes that there is a responsibility on his shoulders towards his children. These principles are so important for our daily life and our lifestyle and our hereafter. If these principles are shaken, if these principles are taken away from us, if our true Islamic teachings are taken away from us, then we will fall astray. And that comes the importance of religion and teaching religion. Imam Salih alayhi salam says that the alim, a true knowledgeable person, is a person who exits the people out of misconceptions into knowledge, out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of knowledge. What are you doing here? You're bringing up the problems and misconceptions. You're putting people in what? In darkness.
Exactly.
When you have your identity as the most important thing, and you see that your identity is being conflicted with these ideas that are coming from social media, it is very important for you to analyze, to look at why it's coming towards you, to see and research more. Does it really conflict or not? And if it conflicts, what do you do? ضربه عرض الجدار. Throw it on the wall. Leave it alone. Banish it. Abolish it. Abandon it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, aid us in this. It's very, very, it's very scary now at times. It's difficult. It needs time. It needs patience. It needs, you know, especially for the missionaries, you need, you know, sa'atu sadr. You have to have, you know, an open chest.
I think that's a really good place to close the show, inshallah. Let's not speak unless we actually have knowledge about something. And I'll tell you one thing there as well. I found that people actually, they actually do have respect for you when you say simply, I don't know.
Because you're not lying. You're not tricking them.
There's no shame in that at all. But yeah, it's been a pleasure and honor to be speaking with you, Sheikhna. It's been educational.
Thank you very much as well. We benefit from you.
We hope to have you on the show again.
Inshallah.
Here at Back to Reality.
Inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight.
Struggling US President Joe Biden is stubbornly insisting on continuing his re-election campaign as Democrats mull forcing him to abandon the presidential race. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Irrespective of who wins the presidential election in the United States this November, the losers will be the American people. Make no mistake about that. The first presidential debate between the two contenders, incumbent Joe Biden and returning challenger and former President Donald Trump, was an unmitigated disaster that stunned not only the American public, but the carefully maintained and imperialist-controlled American media machine. American voters have had experience with both candidates leading the polarized nation, Donald Trump from 2017 to 2021 and Joe Biden from 2021 until now. Both presidents have brought catastrophe not just to the United States but globally. This upcoming election will be between the same candidates as in 2020, but with worsening conditions domestically and globally. The debate, which took place at CNN studios in Atlanta, Georgia, and was scheduled early in the election cycle, was a disaster from start to finish. Donald Trump and Joe Biden both lied, avoided questions, and delivered childish remarks towards one another, with the maturity of pre-adolescent children, far from norm of any world leader. Donald Trump delivered his usual chaotic antics in between racist remarks and question dodging. After becoming the first American president to be convicted of a felony crime, which of course is related to cheating the electoral system and not the numerous imperialist crimes that come with the day-to-day running of the presidency, Trump doubled down on his bid for the presidency, accusing Joe Biden of weaponizing the state in order to stop him from becoming president. Trump blamed the worsening shape of the American economy on Biden's policies, primarily citing the migrant crisis at the southern border with Mexico, even during unrelated questions. It is worth noting that Joe Biden has more or less continued Trump's border policies, even continuing the infamous border wall that Donald Trump started and maintaining horrific migrant detention centers, where Border Patrol agents exploit and abuse migrants seeking asylum. The migrant crisis is a direct result of the economic warfare against Latin American and Caribbean countries, something that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump have maintained. Donald Trump repeatedly refused to answer the questions, running out of time multiple times as he riffed on unrelated topics such as his own trial, the 6th of January 2021 riot on Capitol Hill, and criticisms of Joe Biden. He was reminded of some questions several times whilst continuing to ignore them, a classic Trump deflection strategy that he has mastered over the years. Decades of experience of being a real estate con man has made it a predictable strategy for him, which makes it all the more concerning that the moderators of the debate did not force him to answer the question or even fact-check him on his numerous false claims, even once, particularly around the performance of the economy for everyday workers. Joe Biden's performance was similarly catastrophic. From the get-go, Biden's statements were filled with gaffes and confusing delivery. He delivered numerous false statements and blanket answers that failed to seriously address any question. Furthermore, he dived into several off-topic answers multiple times and even collided with Donald Trump's childish remarks and antics, going jab for jab, once on the topic of golfing, a sport the majority of Americans do not play or even watch. On the one hand, Biden would claim that under his administration, the economic issues were going in the right direction. When pressed on matters like deteriorating conditions for black Americans, Joe Biden would deflect and blame Donald Trump, claiming that Trump's administration left a mess for him to clean up. But a lot of Biden's policies are a continuation of Donald Trump's, making the two administrations virtually the same on a range of topics. The inability to differentiate himself from Donald Trump whilst not offering any promising answers, even for current issues his administration is involved in, shook viewers' confidence in Biden's ability to lead the nation. Furthermore, Joe Biden continuously mumbled or drifted into other topics mid-sentence, causing panic over his mental ability to lead. It is reported that many Democratic officials were in a state of panic during the televised debate, as signs of Biden's mental deterioration were obviously clear. Biden's poor performance even raised the eyebrows of various establishment media outlets that typically praise or defend him. The New York Times editorial board released an opinion editorial asserting the best way for Joe Biden to serve his country was to step down and let someone else run for president. The sentiment was shared by numerous Democratic analysts and political commentators who have backed Joe Biden throughout his current term. The British newspaper The Financial Times has also covered the same story. Many pro-Biden Democrats asserted that Biden was just having a bad debate night and looked to his campaign rally the next day as proof for their claims, where Biden seemed refreshed and energetic. However, netizens on various social media platforms attributed this to Biden being more awake during the day and sundowning at night, as the debate was scheduled for 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Sundowning is a term typically associated with those who suffer from Alzheimer's disease or dementia. Many are wondering if it's too late to swap Joe Biden. The Democratic National Convention is scheduled for August in the city of Chicago, Illinois, where widespread protests against Joe Biden are expected, as the genocide in the Gaza Strip continues to be a main rallying point for millions of people. Thousands are expected to bus into the Midwest city of Chicago to protest Joe Biden's role in arming the Israeli regime. Spectators have been hypothesized that the reason for the debate being scheduled unusually early in the cycle may be to pressure the Biden administration to step down before the convention, as it would take some months to build up a voter surge for a step-in candidate. However, Joe Biden has maintained that he will run despite mounting pressure for him to quit the race, even if you ignore the depleting mental and physical conditions of both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. There is no doubt that both presidential candidates are racist imperialists, even before their mental and physical degradation in recent years. Joe Biden was in favor of segregationist policies during the peak of the U.S. civil rights movement. Donald Trump is a lifelong racist, much like his father, Fred Trump, whose questionable business exploits since the start of his career included exploiting undocumented workers and denying black people housing from his real estate projects. Neither of them has flinched when it comes to their support for the racist Zionist regime. Both also worked to cut already small social safety nets Americans have, like Social Security and Medicare.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
The lugubrious ambience of Muharram has already descended upon the streets of Iran, where the soulful beats of drums intertwine with mournful chants, casting a somber spell of contemplation over the nation. Citizens adorned in black attire gather in processions, their faces etched with expressions of deep sorrow, paying homage to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions. With the arrival of Muharram, the entire country has transformed into a canvas of grief, where the echoes of lamentations and the sight of self-flagellation seeks to keep alive the sacrifices made for the sake of truth and justice more than 13 centuries ago.
Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar, a time of profound significance for Muslims worldwide. It is the beginning of a new year, a time of introspection and commemoration of pivotal events in Islamic history. This sacred month serves as a reminder of the sacrifices made by those who upheld the values of justice, faith, and unwavering devotion. In the early days of Muharram in the year 680 AD, Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, alongside his loyal followers, faced the overwhelming forces of the Umayyad Caliph Yazid in the desert of Karbala. Despite their numerical inferiority, Imam Hussein and his companions stood firm in their principles, refusing to compromise their beliefs and choosing to sacrifice their lives for the preservation of justice, truth, and the legacy of the Prophet. Hujjatul Islam Muhammad Taj Abadi, a religion researcher for over 20 years.
Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam.
History teaches us that Imam Hussein refused to submit to tyranny, to demonstrate that we have the ability to resist tyranny and oppression with courage and dignity. He illustrated that we can oppose oppressive authority regardless of the size of our or their forces. The crucial message is to not stay silent in the face of injustice and oppression. This is a significant lesson that can be learned from the events of Karbala.
This event, marked by immense courage, unwavering faith, and unparalleled sacrifice, has become a testament to the enduring spirit of resistance against oppression and a source of inspiration for Muslims worldwide. In the words of the English novelist Charles Dickens, "If Hussein had fought to quench his worldly desires, then I do not understand why his sister, wife, and children accompanied him. It stands to reason, therefore, that he sacrificed purely for Islam." Centuries have passed, yet Imam Hussein's name continues to resonate with Shia, non-Shia Muslims, and even those beyond the confines of the Islamic faith. His martyrdom has ignited numerous uprisings against unjust rulers throughout the Islamic world, with the most recent being the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran that toppled the oppressive regime of Mohammad Reza Shah. Hujjat al-Islam Ali Akbar Shahrami, a religion expert based in Tehran.
In what ways does Imam Hussein's teaching and legacy resonate from individuals from diverse backgrounds other than the Islamic faith?
ببینید حرکت امام حسین علیه السلام یک حرکت آزادی خواهانه است.
Look, Imam Hussein's movement was a freedom-seeking movement by nature. True, it dates back over 13 centuries, yet his movement sparked an extraordinary discourse of resistance. Even esteemed leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, who himself inspired movements for civil rights and freedom worldwide following his successful anti-colonial struggle in India, regard Imam Hussein as their spiritual leader. Imam Hussein's movement was truly a revolution and a wellspring of inspiration for generations of revolutionary figures across the world.
In Iran, the observance of Muharram holds a particularly meaningful and profound place. The country's deep-rooted connection to the Shia tradition is evident in the extensive commemoration of this month. Mourning rituals, processions, and spiritual gatherings are prevalent throughout Iran as the nation reflects on Imam Hussein's legacy and his struggles against oppression.
Hujjat al-Islam Dr. Sayyid Jalal Razavi Mir, who teaches both at university and seminary, has more to say about the story of Karbala.
قیام امام حسین علیه السلام یک قیامی است که باید سه رکن رو برای او متصور بشیم.
Imam Hussein's uprising rests on three pillars. The first pillar involves intellect, making a rational decision to resist oppression and challenge the pressure from the wealthy, powerful, and armed. The second pillar is bravery displayed in the deserts of Karbala, a true epic tale of having the courage to confront overwhelming power without fear. The third pillar is love and compassion associated with the story of Karbala. In our religious literature, there is a well-known saying, "Verily, in the hearts of the believers lie a love for Imam Hussein that will endure forever." This saying has stood the test of time. Even after more than 13 centuries, people still commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein with love and unwavering enthusiasm, regardless of the circumstances.
The mourning rituals, celebrated with remarkable grandeur, hold a revered position in the collective consciousness of the nation. Each distinct ritual conveys messages of self-sacrifice, relentless pursuit of justice, and steadfast devotion to God. Throughout the country, Iranians gather in mosques, Husseinias, and public spaces to participate in these religious and cultural practices. In Iran, passion plays known as taziyeh are performed during Muharram to reenact the events of Karbala, while processions and mourning rituals are observed with deep reverence. These rituals and traditions have become integral parts of Iranian culture passed down through generations. They contribute to a sense of national identity and heritage, connecting Iranians to their religious and historical roots. The symbolism of Imam Hussein's sacrifice is often invoked in political discourse to inspire resistance and mobilize support for causes deemed just and righteous. Through this commemoration, the Iranian people reaffirm their commitment to these core values, which continue to inspire and guide their collective struggle for freedom and self-determination.
Imam Hussein is indeed a school of life. His noble life should not be limited to a specific reading. The lesson he imparts is relevant throughout life. His love and care for his family, relatives, followers, and society is unparalleled. It could serve as a model for all of us. Imam Hussein had a black servant. In Karbala, when the enemy army surrounded Imam Hussein and his companions, he said to his black servant, "You are free to leave. You should have been with us in times of joy, not at times of war. Go and save yourself. It is time to fight. I do not want you to sacrifice your life for my beliefs."
Meanwhile, the practice of providing free meals known as Nazri has become a commendable tradition amongst various communities during Muharram. These meals are primarily distributed amongst the underprivileged members of society, exemplifying the spirit of compassion and charitable giving. While some benevolent individuals prefer to outsource the preparation of these meals to restaurants or catering services, the act of coming together with relatives and neighbors to cook and distribute the Nazri is considered a laudable gesture, fostering a sense of community and strengthening social bonds. Moreover, Muharram is not merely a time for individual mourning, but rather a period that encourages the unity and cohesion of the entire society. It serves as an opportunity for people from diverse backgrounds to come together and reinforce the significance of social unity. This collective observance of Muharram transcends sectarian divides, underscoring the importance of harmony and mutual understanding within the community.
We have a lot more to cover today, but let's just take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the news section of this program. Here, we'll go over some important news headlines. Tehran Times: Rudaki Open Air Theater hosting Taziyeh performances in Muharram. The Rudaki Open Air Theater in Tehran is hosting performances of Taziyeh, a traditional Iranian passion play, starting from Sunday and continuing throughout the first 10 days of the lunar month of Muharram. This significant event marks the commemoration of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, who is mourned by millions of Muslims during the Muharram rituals. The Sayyid al-Shuhada Taziyeh group, directed by Ahmad Azizi, will perform every night at 8 p.m. for 10 consecutive nights. The Iranian passion play Taziyeh was registered on the UNESCO list of the Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity in November 2010. Taziyeh represents religious events, historical and mythical stories, and folktales. Each performance has the four components of poetry, music, song, and motion. However, stories about the uprising of Imam Hussein and his companions against the oppressive Umayyad dynasty in 680 CE are more highly regarded by Taziyeh troops and audiences. Performers are always male, and female roles are played by men, most of whom are amateurs who gain their living through other means but perform for spiritual rewards. It is a kind of drama that depicts the event of Ashura and is performed in Mahu, Chargah, and Shur Baghdad reliefs of Iranian music. Ikna, Imam Ali Shrine covered with red carpets ahead of Ashura. As the day of Ashura approaches, the courtyards of the holy shrine of Imam Ali in Najaf, Iraq, were covered with red carpets. Ashura marks the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, and the color red symbolizes martyrdom. Haydar al-Isavi, an official with the Astan custodianship of the holy shrine in Najaf, said over 25,000 square meters of the courtyards have been covered with red carpets. He said an integrated plan has been implemented at the mausoleum of Imam Ali to host mourners in the first 10 days of the lunar Hijri month of Muharram. He added that more than 100 mukibs, booths providing foods and drinks to pilgrims, have been set up to serve the pilgrims. The Astan has equipped the mukibs with air conditioning and provided drinking water, detergents, and etc., he stated. According to Ali Savi, the Astan seeks to provide the pilgrims and mourners with the best services. Iran front page: Najafis in Iran's Qom mourn Imam Hussein's martyrdom by torch-carrying rituals. Every year on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of the month of Muharram, on the Islamic calendar, Najafi residents of the Iranian shrine city of Qom carry torches as a symbol of mourning for Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam and the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, who was martyred along with 72 of his companions on the plains of Karbala. The black-clad mourners who hail from the Iraqi city of Najaf gather at Imam Reza Mosque, and the mourning procession moves towards the shrine of Hazrat Masumah, the sister of Imam Reza, the eighth Shia Imam, to offer their condolences. They carry the traditional torches that symbolize the fire that burned the tents of Imam Hussein's loved ones and companions on Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram in Karbala, Iraq. Shia waves. Imam Hussein Holy Shrine launches free internet access during Muharram and Safar. The communications department affiliated to Imam Hussein Holy Shrine has announced it is providing free internet service for visitors in the area between the two holy shrines and the surrounding areas of the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein around the clock during the months of Muharram and Safar. It is worth mentioning that the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein has mobilized all efforts to receive millions of mourners, in addition to intensifying its technical and technological efforts through the communications department, which is working diligently to secure various services for the departments of the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein and the visitors. ABNA, 100 Quran exhibitions to be held across Iran during Muharram. A total of 100 Quran exhibitions will be organized in leading gatherings of mourners during the lunar months of Muharram this year, an official said. Quranic exhibitions will be held over 100 leading gatherings of mourners during the months of Muharram and Safar. Hojjat al-Islam Majid Babakhani, head of the organization that oversees the mourning gatherings, told a press conference on Sunday. These exhibitions, titled Quran and Resistance, present Quranic concepts through art, pictures, and posters, he added. We cannot mention the Ahlul Bayt without also referring to the Quran, nor we can discuss the Quran and ignore the Ahlul Bayt, he said. Programs have been organized for Muharram mourning processions to be immersed in a more Quranic atmosphere, noted the official. This includes both the aesthetic use of Quranic themes and art and engaging with Quranic verses and concepts to help mourners become more familiar with selected verses, he added. And thank you for joining us in this section. Please stay tuned for the main narrative.
The 10th of Muharram, known as Ashura, is a day of profound significance in the Islamic calendar. It marks the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, and his companions at the Battle of Karbala. This event is a poignant reminder of the importance of standing up for justice, even in the face of overwhelming adversity. On Ashura of 680 AD, Imam Hussein and his 72 companions were slain by order of Yazid, the despotic Umayyad ruler of the time, as they refused to swear allegiance to him, whom they considered corrupt to the bones. The family of Imam Hussein was taken captive and brought on a tour around Kufa and Damascus. Hujjat al-Islam Dr. Mehdi Montazer Qaim, a religion expert who also teaches at the University of Judicial Sciences and Administrative Services, put the story of Karbala in context. He said Imam Hussein was on the way to Kufa when he was barred from moving on by the army of Yazid. The people of Kufa had written Imam Hussein a letter explaining their plight to him. In the letter, two crucial points had been made.
One issue related to the widespread financial corruption among the authorities of that era. Another concern was the oppressive style of governance. Regarding the financial corruption, the officials were misappropriating public funds for personal gain. This resulted in a widening wealth gap in society. The affluent were becoming wealthier while the underprivileged were becoming poorer with each passing day. In reference to the second point highlighted in a letter addressed to Imam Hussein, the residents of Kufa lamented that the ruling regime at the time lacked the support of the people. The governing system was in place without obtaining their consent. In essence, the rights of the people had been violated in both financial and political aspects.
The commemoration of Ashura has been a key element in shaping the identity of Shia Muslims, emphasizing principles of sacrifice, resistance, and standing up against oppression. Dr. Montazer Qaim said although there were many reasons for Imam Hussein to rise against Yazid, there was one special issue that had made him so determined to do so, social injustice.
حکومت یزید اشکال‌های متعدد داشت. اصلا یه اشکالش هم این بود که
Yazid's way of ruling was problematic in various aspects. Firstly, it lacked legitimacy. Imam Hussein was the rightful ruler of the Muslim community, not Yazid. Therefore, Yazid was considered a usurper. However, when Imam Hussein chose to oppose Yazid, he did not cite the illegitimacy of Yazid's rule as his reason for uprising. Similarly, he didn't cite Yazid's corruption and immoral conduct as a driving force behind his move. What truly motivated Imam Hussein to confront Yazid was the absence of social justice in society. His action aimed to champion the rights of the people.
To commemorate Ashura is to honor the courage to confront evil in all its manifestations at any cost. As the renowned Scottish historian and essayist Thomas Carlyle aptly observed, the best lesson which we get from the tragedy of Karbala is that Hussein and his companions were rigid believers in God. They illustrated that the numerical superiority does not count when it comes to the truth and the falsehood. The victory of Hussein, despite his minority, marvels me. Meanwhile, the annual commemoration of Imam Hussein's martyrdom in Karbala, Iraq, holds great significance for millions of Muslims worldwide. Despite the sweltering temperatures, many Iranian devotees, along with others from the rest of the world, have been converging upon the sacred site of the Imam Hussein's burial place, which is revered as one of the most hallowed destinations in the Islamic world. Hujjat al-Islam Mehdi Muntazir Qaim shared his reading of Enjoying Good and Forbidding Wrong in the context of Karbala.
Imam Hussein,
what did Imam Hussein do when faced with this situation in society? I mean the corruption of the authorities and the systematic injustice in society. He aimed to reform society. He famously said that he had risen up to reform his grandfather's ummah. So in this sense, Imam Hussein was a reformist. How did he want to undertake reforms? Through what has been mentioned in the Holy Quran as enjoining good and forbidding wrong. This is a duty all Muslims are called to perform in the Quran. Imam Hussein sought to enjoin the ruling system to do good deeds and forbid again the ruling system from doing bad deeds. The point is the target of Imam Hussein's reforms was not ordinary people, but the ruling system, because it's the ruling system that has a direct huge impact on society as a whole.
Imam Hussein's sacrifice at Karbala has left an indelible mark on the hearts and minds of Muslims worldwide. His absolute commitment to the principles of Islam, his refusal to submit to tyranny, and his willingness to give his life for the sake of his faith have made him a revered figure in Islamic history. His legacy continues to inspire generations of Muslims to uphold the values of justice, compassion, and resistance against oppression. As we turn the pages of history, resonances of the past reverberate in the present. As seen in the plight of Gaza's oppressed people rising in defiance against injustice, mirroring the valorous stand of Karbala's martyrs. This unyielding quest for liberation symbolizes the timelessness of human aspirations for freedom, echoing across centuries and geographies. The events of Karbala and the ongoing situation in Gaza both involve themes of struggle against oppression, sacrifice, resistance, and the pursuit of justice. The story of Imam Hussein's stand against oppression and injustice in Karbala resonates with the struggles of the Palestinian people against occupation, displacement, and systematic violations of their rights. At the same time, by reflecting on Imam Hussein's sacrifice and commitment to justice, individuals can empathize with the Palestinian experience and stand in solidarity with their quest for freedom and self-determination.
Imam Hussein's movement conveys a clear message: resist oppression and stand up for the oppressed against the oppressor. Despite the enemy wielding enormous power in the deserts of Karbala, Imam Hussein refused to surrender. A well-known saying attributed to Imam Hussein is, "Far from humiliation." This phrase has become a rallying cry for various resistance groups in the region from Yemen to Lebanon. Drawing inspiration from the events of Karbala, this phrase has become ingrained in the Shia culture. They will never beg for mercy from their enemies, even at the cost of their lives. "Far from humiliation" defines the conduct of Shia Muslims towards their adversaries. This resistance narrative, initiated by Imam Hussein, has proven to be triumphant throughout history. Today, Imam Hussein, his family, and his companions are revered by millions of Muslims worldwide.
The teachings and legacy of Imam Hussein hold universal values, attractive to individuals from diverse backgrounds. His willingness to sacrifice everything, including his life, for a noble cause embodies qualities of courage, selflessness, and dedication. Imam Hussein's defiance of a tyrannical ruler and refusal to submit to unjust authority can be seen as a timeless lesson in standing up for one's beliefs and challenging oppressive systems, principles that are relevant to people regardless of their religious affiliation. The narratives surrounding Imam Hussein's companions who stood by him in his struggle highlight the importance of unity, solidarity, and support for one another in times of adversity.
دو قصه کربلا ما از دختر بچه 3 ساله داریم تا یه پیرزنی مثل ام وهب قمر.
In the story of Karbala there are characters of various ages and ethnicities, yet they are all united in their support for their leader. From an old woman like Umm Wahab to the black servant of Imam Hussein, there were 17 old men among Imam Hussein's companions, but they all fought bravely to defend their leader against the enemy. This unity and solidarity are crucial when facing oppressive powers in our time.
The story of Karbala is indeed a rich and complex narrative that holds deep significance for many people. It is often interpreted in various ways with different layers of symbolism and meaning attached to it. It is seen as a struggle for justice, truth, and standing up against tyranny and oppression. Through contemplation and reflection on the events of Karbala, individuals can draw lessons about principles such as courage, loyalty, and resistance against injustice. The story has inspired countless people over the centuries and continues to be a source of spiritual guidance and reflection for many.
Last but not least, Imam Hussein does not solely belong to us. He is a leader for all humanity, a guiding light for all freedom-seeking individuals worldwide, for those who strive for justice for all. We should not claim him exclusively for ourselves. Imam Hussein surpasses all sectarian and ethnic divisions. Let's aspire to be genuine followers of him through our actions.
That's all for today. Thank you. Please do join us again same times next week to see what else is on. Till next time, take care.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
القرآن نور وبيان القرآن هدي الإيمان القرآن مسك الختام قرآن عليك سلام
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio from all over the world. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad having Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Akbari, and Hussein Ruhullah with me today in this session. Welcome everyone. Hussein Ruhullah, salam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Welcome. Are you fine?
Thank you, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hussein Akbari, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Everyone is great. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you are doing great. Inshallah, today we will talk about one ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 179. Tell us what page, Hassan? What page?
174.
Brothers and sisters, you know the page? 174, top of the page. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Turn to page 174, ayah 179 of Surah Al-A'raf. The recitation is ready. Let's listen and inshallah we'll talk about it. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Everyone ready?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Let's listen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون.
Nice recitation, mashallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 179 of Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Certainly, we have created for hell many of the jinns and humans. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts with which they do not understand. They have eyes with which they do not see. They have ears with which they do not hear. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are like cattle, animals. Rather, they are more astray. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. It's they who are the heedless, okay? It means the people who are not noticed. Guys, this is a beautiful ayah and there might be also a doubt. Look, Allah says, certainly we have created for hell many of the jinns and humans. And so Allah says, maybe some people might think like, Allah puts us into hellfire. Allah takes us to the hellfire. Suppose you have an exam, all right? Before the exam, you have the chance to learn and read and study your book and get ready for the exam. Okay?
Yes.
Hassan, you got math, for example. All right?
Yes.
10 questions are there. You have to answer. The exam is ready. You take the exam. And after the exam, the teacher says, Hassan, you got 20 out of 20. It means you got the full marks. All right?
Yes.
So, will you be happy or no?
Yes.
Of course you'll be happy. They might even reward you. What about me? Poor me, okay? The teacher announced, sir, you got 5 from 20. Out of 20, you got 5. So it means I failed then, yes? Say, sir, it's you who did not check my paper correctly. You did not check it. You just did not give me my mark. I answered all the questions correctly. You did it yourself. I don't know what you have. You hate me. I don't know. I insult him, for example. I blame him that it's him who does this. Forcibly, you have failed. You have made me fail. Okay? But the teacher says, come on. You want to check the paper? I say, yes, of course. I'm sure. I go check the paper. Oh, God. Look at the answers. Then I understand. No. I myself have done this to myself. Yes or no?
Yes.
I made myself fail. So, Allah says that, yes, certainly we have created for hell many of the jinns and humans. So we understand that among the jinns are as well, there are good jinns, there are
bad jinns.
There are good human beings, there are bad human beings. Yes? It's why? Because لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونِ بِهَا. Allah says they have hearts with which they do not understand. لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. We have eyes, but with our eyes, we do not look at the ayat of Allah. We do not look at the beauty of the creation. We do not look at the signs of Allah Almighty. Next, وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. 124,000 prophets. Quran came to you. Imams came to you. They told you. Everything was clear. And you knew that it's clear. I have to follow it. But you couldn't stop following your desires. Alright, that's all. Refer to the Tafasir books. There are a lot about these beautiful verses to talk, but we don't have much time. We'll move on to the tajweed points and recitation.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
وَلَقَدْ What is the first point? وَلَقَدْ قَلْقَلَ echoing sound. Everybody say وَلَقَدْ
وَلَقَدْ
Yeah, echo the sound of dog. ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ What? لِجَهَنَّمَ yes. How do you say it?
With the nasal sound.
With a nasal sound you read, yes. جَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ How do you read it, Hussein?
كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ
أحسنتم كثيرا إدغام من الجن والإنس What is this called?
إخفاء
إخفاء You hide the sound لهم قلوب لا How do you read?
قلوب لا
بلا merging them لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا أعيو نلا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا آذان نلا يسمعون بها What does that jim tell us, Hassan? That will be the last point, I think.
Jim tell us that we are allowed to stop.
We are allowed to make a pause. Great. أولئك the mad is wajib. We have said this many times. كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون The heavy sound with غا That's all. These are the points you need to pay attention. Okay, Hussein?
Yes.
So now, I will recite this ayah for the final part of our today's session. Repeat after me, inshallah, and practice it. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us up to this time. It's the last part. Listen and practice, then we'll end the session. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس
ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس
لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها
لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها
أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل
أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل
بل هم أضل Allah says rather they are more astray than animals okay animals have no knowledge no wisdom but these people
who are on the wrong path, they are even more astray than animals, okay? More blinded.
أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ
أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us up to this time. That's it from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. We'll be here with you, inshallah, next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines, Yemen launches a drone strike on Tel Aviv, leaving one person dead and several others injured. At least 50 Palestinians are killed in the latest Israeli airstrikes across Gaza, where the total death toll approaches 38,850. And the International Court of Justice says Israel's practices and policies in the occupied Palestinian territory are in violation of international law. Our top story for this half hour, Yemen has carried out a drone